Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey everyone, it's Eves. Just wanted to let you know that you'll be hearing an episode from me and an episode from Tracy V. Wilson today. Hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to This Day in History class from HowStuffWorks.com and from the desk of Stuff You Missed in History class. It's the show where we explore the past one day at a time with a quick look at what happened today in history.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson and it's September 24th. Benedict Arnold escaped to an English ship after trying to hand West Point over to the British on this day in 1780. Benedict Arnold was born on January 14, 1741, and by the start of the American Revolutionary War, he was a businessman. He was also a smuggler, which was increasingly common as the British put more and more restrictions on trade to North America. He was also active in the local militia, and he started out on the side of the Patriots, fighting against the British monarchy for the cause of independence. He served with Ethan Allen in the campaign to capture Fort Ticonderoga and the cannons that were stored there. Then General George Washington gave him the mission of capturing Quebec. While the attack on Fort Ticonderoga had been successful, the attack on Quebec was not, and Arnold was seriously wounded in the process. His first wife also died in the middle of all of this, and that might have been a contributing factor to why he just really threw himself into military service. Benedict Arnold distinguished himself in 1776 with the creation of a flotilla on Lake Champlain that attacked the British fleet that was gathering there. This didn't destroy the British fleet, but it did derail their plans to mount an attack. So ultimately, it was a big win for the Patriots. He was also, though, really impetuous and rash in a way that frustrated the other officers. He picked a lot of fights. At one point, he was accused of theft. And this behavior wasn't just within the army, and it wasn't just with other officers. His friends also knew him to be a pretty squabbly hothead. In 1777, Benedict Arnold's relationship to the army and to the Patriot cause really started to sour. That year, Congress established several new major generalships, and Arnold really thought one of them should be his. After all, he had distinguished himself repeatedly, both with Ethan Allen and with that flotilla on Lake Champlain, other activities as well. But someone who was junior to him was promoted and he was passed over. Arnold nearly left the army over this, but General Washington convinced him to stay on. Arnold was finally promoted later, but he still didn't have seniority over the people who had been promoted ahead of him and were really junior to him in his mind, in the grand scheme of things. He nearly left once again once again was convinced to stay, but he became even more resentful. He was seriously wounded at the Battle of Saratoga in 1777. Afterwards, he was sent to Philadelphia. He was going to be the military governor there. He arrived in 1778. While he was there, he ran afoul of attorney Joseph Reed, who started an investigation into Arnold's behavior. This ultimately led to a court-martial that dragged on and on for years through repeated delays, a lot of those delays orchestrated by Joseph Reed. While in Philadelphia, Arnold also got married to Peggy Shippen. She was from a very prominent family. Descriptions are a little all over the place about them. Some refer to them as active loyalists. Others say that they weren't exactly loyalists, but they weren't in favor of the Patriots' more radical tactics. Regardless, though, he was 37 and she was 18, and that relationship does seem to have influenced his behavior from here. He also started making connections in Philadelphia with other loyalist families, and by May of 1779, motivated by all these ongoing frustrations with the American military and with this ongoing court-martial and his own mounting debts, he had started reaching out to the British. He was passing them information about the Patriots' war effort. In June of 1770, Benedict Arnold was given command of the fort at West Point. He tried to turn it over to the British for £20,000. That failed. Arnold's contact with the British military, Major John Andre, was captured, and Arnold fled, leaving Andre to hang, which did not do his reputation any favors among the British. It was in the midst of all this that Arnold escaped on September 24th, 1780. Colonel John Brown of Massachusetts had actually alleged that Arnold was showing a treasonous streak all the way back in 1776 during the Battle of Fort Ticonderoga, but it wasn't heeded. Apart from a brief stint as a privateer, Benedict Arnold spent most of the rest of his life in London, and he died there on June 14th of 1801. Today, his name is just synonymous with traitors in the United States. You can learn more about Benedict Arnold's service with Ethan Allen on the September 29th and October 1st, 2014 episodes of Stuff You Missed in History Class. Thanks to Christopher Hasiotis for his research on today's episode, and thanks to Tari Harrison for her audio work on this podcast. You can subscribe to the Stay in History Class on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can tune in tomorrow for a new international border.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hi, I'm Eves, and welcome to This Day in History Class, a show that uncovers a little bit more about history every day. The day was September 24th, 1572. Tupac Amaru, the last indigenous ruler of the Inca, was executed in Cuzco by the Spanish. In 1533, Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro and his forces captured and killed Incan Emperor Atahualpa. He was the last Sapa Inca, or sovereign emperor believed to be a direct descendant of the gods, though later rulers of the Neo-Inca state considered themselves Sapa Inca. After his death, the Inca Empire effectively collapsed. Pizarro and his forces proceeded to march on Cuzco, the capital of the Inca Empire, and occupied the city. From there, the Spanish continued in their quest to conquer and colonize Peru. The Spaniards had cavalry, guns, swords, and steel armor, and many Incans sided with them. But the Inca who were loyal to the empire did attempt to resist Spanish colonization. Originally a puppet ruler installed by Pizarro, Manco Inca Yupanqui rebelled against the Spanish and formed his own army. He and his followers were not able to retake Cuzco, but they did establish a Neo-Inca state in Vilcabamba, a remote region east of Cuzco. The Neo-Inca state functioned as a seat of resistance. Manco and his supporters were not a serious threat to the Spanish, but Vilcabamba was a concern to colonial officials. After Manco's rule ended in the Neo-Inca state, he was succeeded by his son Sayri Tupac, then Titu Cusi Yupanqui, then Tupac Amaru. Tupac Amaru became the Inca ruler after Titu Cusi died in 1571. While Titu Cusi fortified Vilcabamba and did not go to Cuzco, he did eventually relent and was baptized into the Roman Catholic Church. Tupac Amaru, though, opposed Christianity and Spanish rule. Churches in Vilcabamba were destroyed, Spaniards there were killed, and the borders were closed. But the Spaniards in Cuzco were not aware of the changes in Vilcabamba. After a Spanish diplomat returning to Vilcabamba from Cuzco was killed, the Spaniards justified attacking the Inca by concluding that they had, quote, broken the inviolate law observed by all nations of the world regarding ambassadors. Viceroy Francisco de Toledo declared war on Vilcabamba in 1572. When the Spanish got to Vilcabamba in June, the city was destroyed and Tupac Amaru was gone. But Spanish soldiers pursued the Inca who had fled and captured Titu Cusi's son and wife, Tupac Amaru's relatives and generals, as well as other prisoners and valuable items. With the help of a group of indigenous people, Tupac Amaru and his wife were captured. The captured were sent to Cuzco in late September. The Spaniards attempted to convert the captives to Christianity. Tupac Amaru's generals were sentenced to death by hanging. After a hurried trial, Tupac Amaru was convicted of murder and sentenced to be beheaded, though many people were sure that he was innocent. According to one account, Tupac Amaru was riding a mule with his hands tied behind his back on the day of his execution. Others said that he was surrounded by hundreds of guards with lances. There are several reported versions of the speech Tupac Amaru gave as he prepared to die on the scaffold on September 23rd. After he was executed, his head was reportedly put on a pike along with the heads of his generals. After locals began honoring Tupac Amaru at the site of his severed head, the viceroy ordered that his head be buried with his body. The Spanish had colonized Peru. Incan culture and the land were drastically affected by the arrival of the Spanish. Europeans carried diseases that decimated Incan populations, and culture and religion was imposed upon the remaining Incans. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at TDIHC Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you come back tomorrow for more delicious morsels of history.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.